Pastor Warner.
In a mission and ministry where you are at. I'm going to start with reading two quick scripture texts. Psalm 115, verse 1. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory because of your love and faithfulness. And then the second one is from 2 Corinthians 3, verse 5. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Okay, so to begin this morning, I just have a question. For those that are United Methodist women, how many are you in the reading program? Women! We're going to have a talk. Okay, so part of what United Methodist women do is education. We're always learning more about our world and ministry and missions throughout the world. So this is my third year in a row reading five books for the reading program for the United Methodist women. And for the most part, I have enjoyed the books. They have challenged me. Some of them are extremely liberal, and some of them are extremely conservative. And I'm more middle of the road. So, and yes, David, I am more middle of the road. He thinks I'm way over, but I'm not. I'm more middle of the road, and so I've been challenged by these books. And I have my five new books. I get them every year, and then I donate them back to United Methodist Women so that other women can read them. And one of the things that I notice, which I often overlook and just flip past, is the dedication page. And so I'm going to share those with you because most of us, I think, just skip over those. And they're like, oh, you know, kind of like sometimes the introduction. You really don't need to read it. And you just flip past it. The first book that I'm reading, which I'm thoroughly enjoying, is called Fulfilled, Living and Leading with Unusual Wisdom, Peace, and Joy by Kirk Byron Jones. And his dedication says, to the spirit of restlessness, grace, who loves us so madly. And then you can tell by some of these titles that I'm working on my eating. So Eat with Joy, Redeeming God's Gift of Food by Rachel Marie Stone. And hers is quite lengthy. She says, for my parents who fed me good food and good books, both with great love. For my children who feed me heart and soul and mind with their hunger and thirst for life and for time. A Girl Called Problem by Katie Quirk. Hers is simple, just says, for Modesta. Another book is January 1st by Michael Schofield. And this book is really interesting because it's about a father's perspective on helping his child who has mental health problems. It says, for Janie, Susan, and Honey, thank you for your patience and your faith. I love you. And then this one, I don't know after reading this if I'm ever going to be able to eat at a restaurant again, but it's called Behind the Kitchen Door by Saru Jahraman, to the more than 10 million restaurant workers nationwide who struggle daily to feed us. Now you may be thinking, why in the world is she reading these to us? But you think about it. These dedication pages are dedicated greatly, they vary greatly from dedicating it to God, dedicating it to complete strangers. And it shares with us just a glimpse of where the author is and who has influenced the author during this writing time. Now, if you were asked the question, who has influenced you, what would be your answer? Now, my son, Faniel, is 17, and he does know I'm using his name here and what I'm going to say, because he is a high school senior, and he is working on scholarship applications. Who knew that it would be so torturous for his family? They're writing, it's like writing a term paper for each one. But one of the questions that he has to answer, which I thought I had to really think about for myself, is who has influenced you, and who has affected your life? It's not one and the same. So the first part of the question, I think most of us would think is pretty simple. Most would say their parents or persons that who raised you. And some of us may say that this hasn't always been a positive experience, but for the most part, it has influenced you, positive or negative. And also, things that would fall under this category are your peers, siblings, coworkers, authors, filmmakers, musicians, the list can go on. I think the tougher question to answer is, who has affected you? This question is more difficult because it's about an influence that may not have affected you. An influence, to me, in my understanding of this question, is more fleeting, whereas an effect is long-lasting. Now, as I was reflecting on this question and thinking about my own life, it's hands down a United Methodist woman, Carol Berg, who deeply affected my life. Now, Carol is the woman who influenced my parents to let Jesus affect my life. Through Carol's invitation to Sunday school and worship when I was 9 years old, I remember her sitting on the back porch with my parents in Chicago, convincing them that going to Sunday school would not be a big deal. And how she handled that was that she took all the obstacles away. For whatever obstacle they had, she made sure that she had an answer for it. She went even as far as making sure that she picked me up, my sister up as well, and taking us to Sunday school and then bringing us back home. So it was not an inconvenience for my parents. And she introduced me to the wonderful people of Grace United Methodist Church of Logan Square in Chicago. Carol sat next to me in worship. She showed me how to act in church and to see God in my everyday life. This was a woman who, in her spare time, working for Fannie Mae Candy, which I adored, as you could tell, she would take us, like at Christmas, downtown to see all the windows that were decorated in Chicago. She made sure that it wasn't just in Sunday mornings that we felt loved. It was throughout the week. And she introduced me to United Methodist Women when I was 14 years old. And I've been a member ever since. Now, United Methodist Women, for me, has been hugely influential in my life. They are the group that helped me get going working with the homeless. It is the group that showed me how to be a leader. It is the group of women that said, it doesn't matter if you're a female or not. It doesn't matter. God's called you to something. Answer the call. Now, these introductions that Carol gave me were way into the leadership of the church. An acknowledgement of God's call and action in my life happened. Then I went to seminary where I met my wonderful husband. I became ordained, served a congregation, have 4 kids, and I get to lead a wonderful organization called Harbor House Crisis Shelters. For those that don't know, it's a homeless shelter and transitional living center up in Superior. And we are the only shelter for 5 counties that serve single women and men, and families with that men that have children, I should say. And I'm an extension minister, so the United Methodist Church has recognized this as an appointment. And my bishop every year says it's okay for me to keep going there. All these blessings, all this ministry, all of this life happen simply because someone invited me to Sunday school. But Carol would never, ever say it was her. She never would. She would always say that it was God prompting her, making sure that she had the answers, that she knew what needed to be said and done. An inspired moment that Carol responded to with a yes. And throughout these times, in retrospect, I see God's almighty hand holding mine, sometimes pulling me, but always loving me into the next step of my journey of faith. Which brings me to the next line of my thinking. And for those that, most of you don't know me, but for those that do know how my brain works, I'm kind of a scatter. So it makes sense to me. Going on to the next line of thinking then is one of my other favorite pastimes besides reading is watching the superheroes of the Avengers series. I just love those movies. Thor, Captain America, the Hulk, the Iron Man, the Avengers. These movies are just a great escape for me. I don't have to think about anything else. I can just sit there and enjoy. They take me to a place and time, and I don't have to worry about anything else except, is the villain gonna win? All right? And by their popularity, I know I'm not the only one in my appreciation for them. So I try to see these movies on the big screen. And as the movies ended one time, I sat there. I'm like, you know what? I just want to enjoy the peace and quiet of everybody leaving. And I'm just going to sit here. So, you know, the credits are rolling, and really nobody cares. It's the credits. Everybody gets up and leaves, right? Don't we all do that? When the credits start to roll, we just got to go, yeah, I don't want to be here for that. And you really don't care unless your name is going to be up there or you're a relative. Let's be honest. So I sat there and I'm like, oh, you know, I just don't want to get up, but I guess I should get up because the credits are ending. And wow, what happened? Another clip to the movie for the next movie. And I was so excited because I'm like, all these fools left early. They didn't get to see the end of the beginning of the next movie to get some more information. And I was like, so I've always sat there just hoping that maybe there's going to be some more. The credits. And that's something else. You know, it's not glamorous. There's this list of names of people who've done everything from the acting to the music to the stunts, animation, wardrobe, even those that run to go get the coffee, the gophers. It is so different from a dedication page. It comes at the end and is the sum of everybody's work. It is to whom we must give credit, how we get to that point. Now, our scripture texts very clearly state to whom we are to give credit, to whom we must acknowledge as the one who has given us the abilities, the talent, the opportunities, the growing challenges, the depth and breadth of life, our majestic God. Now, I see a distinct difference here. We often dedicate things acknowledging that someone or something has influenced us, maybe even affected us. But when we give credit, we are saying that I could not have done this without. And for each Christian, the answer is God. Or as we saw in the song there, the many names that God can take on. Many times we like to leave early at the movies, before the credits run, forgetting to give credit where credit is due. Now, as the executive director for Harbor House Crisis Shelters, I have often had the opportunity to turn a ministry and mission of Christ Church into just another nonprofit serving the homeless. I could easily do that. It would be more profitable for the shelter, and it would be a whole lot less stress for me, and it would just be easier. And what I mean by that is that we could turn it into a state-run organization. We could take money from the casino. We could take money from a lot of the tobacco industry who are trying to make a good name for themselves or other industries. We could. And believe me, it would make my job a whole lot easier, and people would be paid more, and, however, it would not be faithful. It would not be giving credit where credit is due. God has always provided a means and a way for this ministry to exist, a path in our Wesleyan tradition for social holiness. Now, a tangible example for me is this past year of 2014. It was a tough year. It was a little over a year ago, January 13th, last year. There's a boiler pipe above my office, and we had that cold and warm and then cold again. Well, that pipe broke and burst in my office, and it flooded my office with hot, boiling water, destroying my computer and all my files. The office and the church kitchen below had to be gutted down to the studs. And of course, we were no longer grandfathered in because it's an old building, so we had to reconstruct and come bring those areas up to code. I will never forget the horrible feeling of opening my office door that morning. It was full of hot steam just pouring out at me, and the panic that ran through my heart, and the sinking feeling that went into the pit of my stomach. And all while these repairs were happening then, I had my office in the education wing of the church. But lo and behold, a week in, the roof started to collapse on that building. I know, really? I just needed some locusts, and I would have felt like I was with Moses again there. So we had to evacuate the building. We couldn't be there. I'm like, really? I don't have a computer. I can't do my work. I can't get grants. I'm not able to submit the year-end from 2013 funding reports for anything. I was just like, really, God? So because of these difficulties, Harbor House, the only shelter then for single women and families in five counties, we barely squeaked by. We lost some funding, and for some of the funding that we usually get, it was very much delayed. Now, once again, it would have been so easy to just take funds from the casino in Duluth. They're always wanting to give us money, or to take money from somewhere else. But we persevered, and we knew that God would provide. Now, granted, God didn't do it as quickly as I wanted God to, or as completely as I would have liked. But that's besides the point. One of the reasons that I know that Harbor House Crisis Shelter exists and made it through and continues to make it through is that we are always giving credit to our God. If you ask any of my staff why they do what they do, it is not because they're good people, even though they are. It is not because they want glory, because this is not a glorious job. They will tell you that the reason they are doing it is because Christ has called them to do it. That is why. We give credit to God. And I have up in my office a quote from Mother Teresa, and most of you probably have heard it. It's, people are often unreasonable and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. You are kind. People may excuse you of alternative motives. Be kind anyway. If you are honest, people may cheat you. Be honest anyway. If you find happiness, people may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today may be forgotten tomorrow. Do good anyway. Give the world the best you have, and it may never be enough. Best anyway. For you see, it is between you and God. It was never between you anyway. Bill points out that what you do and how you do things in this world matter. And when we give God the proper credit where credit is due, we glorify God in our actions and our deeds. And that's what mission is about. It's not you being a good person or kind. It is about your relationship with God. And so, my hope and my prayer is that your life be a reflection of giving God the credit. Amen.